this in a minute. Benefits of recitation: memory retention, relief of ear pain, entry through any door of Jannah, and safety on a journey. So most of us know this quite well. I'm now going to go into section one and then we'll combine them all together. So the first section is ayah 1 to 5. And that is in essence declaring the perfection of Allah. Remember when you say, I'm glorifying Allah, because tasbih is glorification. And I've talked about this many, many times. So go to the first ayah. Sabbih. It's the only surah with an order. If you look at all the other musabbihat, yusabbihu, sabbaha, they're not in order. This is an order. It's telling you and me, sabbih, declare his perfection. Glorify, as your translation might say. I repeat again, sabaha was to swim, to maintain a perfect balance. But sabaha, to swim, also means to continually strive. Because if you don't continually move, even if you are swimming on the spot, you will drown. So you have to continually move. So part of sabaha, or part of sabbe, is to continually declare his perfection, continually to remind oneself, continually to keep on saying he is the greatest. What do I declare the perfection of? He said, sabbihisma, the perfection of his name, the perfection of his attributes. Now, many times I've said this, but I'll repeat it. Between human beings and the Creator, there is a difference in attributes. If you said, I could write, then that is an attribute I have, the ability to write. But if I couldn't write, I would still be me. I would still be me, even if I couldn't write. I would still be me if I couldn't talk, if I couldn't cook, whatever you want to say. Allah is not Allah if you take any of the attributes away. He is a sum total of perfection in itself. My attributes as a human being are limited. Allah's attributes are limitless. So what he's trying to say here is declare the perfection of the limitless attributes of your Rabb. And he says Rabb here, one who is in total control, A'ala, the Most High. Nothing that you can imagine comes anywhere near him. He's the highest of the high. So I'll repeat again. Sabbihisma rabbikal a'ala. So basically saying, declare the perfection of the attributes of your Rabb, the Most High. And when we go into sajda, we're at our lowest point, but it is heard at the highest point. That's why we're reminded to do that. I'm going to look at the hadith of the Prophet. No one will ever be grieved if he asks Allah by every name that belongs to him, that he has called himself by, or has brought down in his book, or has taught to any of his creation. We did Surah Al-Isra. If you look at Surah Al-Isra, I'm just going to have a look. I think it's ayah 110, if I'm not mistaken. If you look at Isra, ayah 110, most of you know this because it's repeated all the time. He says, "Qul idullah aw idurrahman." Call upon Allah or call upon the Rahman. Ayyaman tad'u, whichever one you call upon. Falahul asma'ul husna. He has the best of attributes, absolutely the best. So this is one of the things to be able to learn those names. So anyway, declare the perfection of the most awesome, limitless attributes of your Master, who is the Most High. The previous surah was Tariq. Tariq is the highest star. He's saying Allah is higher than any high thing that you can think about. Now, how does he describe himself? There are four things, so you're going to remember four things he does. Alladhi khalaqa. The first thing he does is he creates. The first is creation. Alladhi khalaqa. Then fasawa, he perfects that product. Sawa sawa in Swahili we say. So alladhi khalaqa fasawa. He creates and perfects. He creates the seed. He perfects it by making it into a tree. He creates a speck of pollen. He perfects it by allowing the bee to eat of it and make honey. Perfect drink. So he creates and then he perfects. And then he says, the third thing, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Everything is according to a measure. قُدْرَ is, it's perfectly planned. Everything is planned. So if you and I said, why am I tall? Why I'm not short? Why somebody's like this? Why somebody's like that? This is part of his plan. He has made it his plan. So he says, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ, after he's planned it, perfect plan, fahada. Then he guides, he provides guidance. Surah Taha, if you look at when Fir'aun asks Musa, فَمَرْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. I'm going to try and get you the iron numbers, so you know I should have written them down. But anyway, let's have a look at them. So he asks Musa, he says, فَمَرْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Who is your Rabb, O Musa? So he says, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي, okay? My Rabb is he who created and guided. Okay, so that's what he tells Musa. I'm trying to find you where it is. Ayah 49 and 50. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْتَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He gave each thing its creation. ثُمَّ هَدَى. Then he guided it. He showed it where to go. So, four things. He creates. He makes perfect. He measures, it's actually perfectly planned, and then he guides. Now, the ulama tell us that guidance is in five parts. The first thing is in your nature. A baby knows where its milk is. It doesn't have to be told. It just instinctively knows where its milk is. Then there is instinct. Within you and me, there is an instinct. Surah Al-Shams says it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. You and I know within ourselves something doesn't feel right. The third thing is fitra. We have got naturally inside it a moral compass. The fourth thing is akal. You and I have been given akal. We know, we've been given reason. We don't have to see something to be able to see the consequences. I think the most obvious is smoke. If you see smoke, you know there's a fire that's normally used, right? If you see gray clouds, you know somewhere along the line it's going to start raining somewhere. So this is intellect. The fifth thing is Sharia, the Quran and the M14, or the prophets, the Quran and the M14. So وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, he's provided absolutely everything for you and me to be able to guide ourselves. If we look at Surah Al-Insan, هَلَا تَعْلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِنُ مِنَ الدَّحْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. And then he says, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Then إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We have guided the human being. It is up to him whether he wants to be thankful or unthankful. So guidance is provided, it's up to us. So here we're told, let's go again. Subbihisma Rabbikal A'la, declare the perfection of the limitless, most awesome attributes of your Rabb, who is the most high. He created you, he balanced you, he finished you, it made you perfect. He did it according to a measure, a perfect measure, and then he showed you guidance. So that's my bit that I've got to remember about where I can reach. Now he says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He's making me think. He said, now, وَالَّذِي, it is he who, أَخْرَجَ is to draw out. He's drawn out. مَرْعَى is a place of greenery. It's grazing pastures. So he's given you revelation and guidance like a pasture. If you want to grow, you have to be able to consume it. You'll have to be able to take it into you. And if you really think about that pasture, the same divine power that created us from dust will bring us back from dust. So even if you are dead earth, by that revelation, you will flourish. And then he says, فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Gutha is a rotting plant. You know, sometimes when you have flowers in a vase and you forget them, the stems become like they stink. The water actually stinks. That's gutha. It's like, it's nauseous. Hawa is become black, overwhelmed by blackness. So he's saying that same pasture that is all greenery and you will consume, it will go. So there's a limited opportunity of use of that revelation only until death. After death, I can't say I've got all the time in the world. Now I'm going to sit and study in the cupboard. He says, no. You could even say faja'alahu ghuthaa nahwa. Some of the translations say it's dried up and dust colored. Okay, you can say the same thing. It turns brown, it withers away. It's of no use after death. So revelation has its limited opportunity. The guidance is limited until the time of death. So the first section that we looked at, when it says sabbe, he's saying use the opportunity to declare his perfection, and therefore use the opportunity to ensure that you know that you have a limitless opportunity to become the best. You shouldn't let anybody stop that. Right, now section two. So the second part is dhakke. So what does it say here? Sanukri'uka fala tansa. We will make you recite it so you do not forget. Soon we will give you the ability to conserve it in the future. The prophet was so worried. To him, he was so worried. He was so worried that he will forget it. He would not be able to tell future generations. Allah is telling you and me, you know what? You will be able to keep it if you consume it. If you internalize this, you will be able to keep it. You will not forget. Don't worry. It's not something you'll forget. Every human being knows that he or she will get old, and with age you might forget. He said, not this. This that will take you to your full perfection will always, or to your full potential, will always remain with you. Nothing will be forgotten. Don't worry. Sanukri'uka fala tansa. You will not forget. We will make you recite it. What will he make me forget? Illa masha'Allah, except which he pleases. Mashia is concrete decisions. So you will forget only that which he wishes you to forget. And sometimes it's important that human beings forget some things in their life. Otherwise, none of us would be able to exist. So he says, illa masha'Allah. And then in the same sentence, innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa. He's saying, don't forget that although you may have forgotten, it is still in my records. Everything that you do, jahar is an activity that is obvious, that is an activity that everyone can see. Ikhfa, everybody knows ikhfa. When you did Quran, it was a letter that you knew existed, but it was hidden. He knows what is obvious, and he knows that which is hidden that nobody else can see. So he says, I know it all. Don't worry. Even those deep inside things that you have in you, I'm there. Don't worry. So what is he going to do with them? وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. To the prophet, he's saying, we will make the prophetic mission easy for you. Don't worry, we will. How do you make things easy? So it's not like he's going to take it away. He's not going to change reality. I am going to give you the ability to deal with it. I will make you stronger. When you and I ask for something, we don't say, Ya Allah, take this away. He can't, he won't. Something has happened. Give me the strength and the ability to be able to deal with it. Makes to make you stronger. He will empower you. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. And it will make what you see, لِلْيُسْرَ is the future to a state of ease. It'll be easy. It'll make it easy. So when we pray, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ, give me the ability so that what I see now as a major difficulty in my life, it becomes an ease. So the second section basically is فَذَكِّرْ. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفْعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. That ends that section where it says, remind, it's telling the Prophet, remind them because reminder is good for them. They know already, but continually remind them. We have a phenomenal place in our community because we have majalis, we have continually going to the mosque, we have classes, we have all the time we've got something that reminds us. That's why a person who sits on the mimbar is known as a dhakir or a dhakira. They're continually there. They're continually reminding us because we forget. And reminding profits us. There's a reminder that tells us, you know what? You are enough. And you can be the best. Nobody can stop you. That's the prophet's message. Fadhakir, remind. And through Sayyidah Shuhada, through Sayyidah Zainab, I mean, the institution that gave us this, these dhakirin, or the, gave us the institution of Dadokera, of remembering, is just phenomenal. We have more than any other community that we know of. So for that care, enough ati dhikra. There is always, sometimes we say, oh, they're reading the same thing, same majlis. But really, it's not the same. It's reminding you again and again and again. It doesn't matter. The very fact of us being able to listen, it's just, he's saying, that is what's your success. That's what's going to take you there. Okay, now section three. So it's success and failure. What is success and what is failure? Now he says, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one that will remember will have khushu, will mind, will be fearful, will be always in awe of their future. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَى الذِّكْرَ فَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Who will remember? Yasin, no? The one who will remember his Rahman in Ghaib. So Allah is saying here, I'll tell you who will remind themselves, gari gari, again and again. Those that will فَيَتَّسَيَقْزَقَرُ مَنْ يَكْشَى. Who will be mindful of their future, who will be mindful of the Akhirah. So they will make an effort to remember. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْكَى. But there will be one who will make an effort to run away. Janb is side. تَجَنَّبَ is an effort to avoid. You turn away on your side. You purposely turn away. So he says the one who will be, how can I put أَشْكَى? أَشْكَى is one who is extremely exhausted. Like, I can't take this anymore. This is too much for me. So Allah is saying the one who will be totally exhausted is the one who will turn away from this revelation. They won't be empowered. Everything in life will be too much because they will not be perfecting or declaring the perfection of their Rabb. And what will happen to them? Alladhi yasla nar al kubra. They will be, now, yasla, you could say, they will be thrown into a fire, a large fire. In other words, they will burn from within. In Arabic, taslia is when you take something that won't bend because it's so hard and you have to put it in the fire to mold it. Sometimes we do that with chocolate. We have to soften it to mold it. You know, I don't know about you, but if you do tortillas, and if you want to make a tortilla into a case, you have to warm it and then put it in the case and then you cool it. And it, you all know about that, right? So it has to be, even pastry. I mean, those of you who cook, you know, not that, what's that sauce, that phyllo pastry. I mean, if it dries out, khalas, okay? So it has to be moist. Here it has to be warm to be able to mold. And when people wanted to bend a stick that was, you couldn't bend, they had to moisten it. They had to make, put it in the fire. Here Allah is saying the hearts have to be, sometimes they're so hard, they can only be softened by the fire. This is an internal fire. Alladhi yasla nar al kubra. They're thrown in this fire. This inner fire doesn't stop burning. You know, death is a relief, but there's no death for them. They live through that fire. Hatred, jealousy, resentment, whatever it is. It's burning inside. Alladhi yasla nar al kubra, thumma la yamutu fiha wa la yahya. They cannot live in it, they cannot die in it. So now if I'm stuck in this place, what do I do? Say, so, Ya Allah, hello, I need to get out of this. I want sukoon, I want peace, I don't want to be like this. He says, number one, kad aflaha man tazakka. Falah is a farmer. Falah is not only success, is to reach a sense of maturity. A farmer sows his seed and gets it to harvest. So he says, if you want to be successful, as in you want to reach that full perfection, that your full, your personal best, or your full potential, then your first step is tazkiya. Now tazkiya is described as purification, but tazkiya means to grow. Something will only grow if it has got the right risk. Okay, so to grow without impurity. There's a lot of stages of tazkiya that have been mentioned. The first is to believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Zakah comes from the same thing. If you give zakah, then your wealth will grow. Dunya and akhirah. More so in the akhirah where you want it. So kad aflaha man tazakka. If you want to be successful, you want to be out of that sort of exhaustion and that sort of fire, then the first thing you will do is you'll purify yourself. Then wa dhakara isma rabbihi. Then you will remind yourself, second step. Now you will remind yourself of the names of your Rabb, the perfection, the limitlessness of your Rabb, where you can get to. So first step, cleanse the negative. Second step, remember the positive. And then the third step, fasallah. Then you will pray. Then you can connect to him. We look at it the other way. We say we finish praying, you know what? We've done something big. No. He's saying first, before you pray, that's why you do wudu. The du'as for wudu are there to cleanse ourselves. When we wash our face, mouth, we say, cleanse me of all the things that was going to come out of this. You know, hands, face, whatever we do, all these du'as are there to cleanse. When we stand up, we say, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. You know, Imam Zain al-Abidin taught us, Allahu Akbar, ya muhsinu kadatak al-musi. In front of you is the sinner. Fatajawaz an kabihi ma'indi bijamili ma'indaka ya kareem. Change what is bad in me to what is beautiful in you. So when I'm standing there, all my negative, this is Salah. I'm taking out all the negative, I'm putting in the positive, and then I'm connecting to him and saying, you know what? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. Whatever has happened to me, my goodness, all praise and gratitude to you. That's what this is about. So, وَذَكَرَسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So, at this time, I figure out, what direction do I want to go to? Where do I want to go? So he says, I'll tell you, you have a choice of two. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Problem is, you give preference to this world, which if you go back, withers away. Remember, we talked about the pasture, and the pasture that became black and got rotten, it withers away. But he says, "Wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa." But what is to come is much better, khayr, is much better, wa abqa, and it is there forever. Now, question. To me, when I think of akhirah, I think of everything, Jannah and Jahannam. But he's saying, Akhirah is abqa, is better. So it cannot include Jahannam. Here, it can only include Jannah. And therefore, it tells you and me that his plan, or his, if I can say, his forecast for every human being is to go to Jannah. He has never looked at an Akhirah. When you and I construct something and make something, we never set it up for failure. We always set it up for success because it is within our fitrah. When I make something, I'm making it not to set it up for failure unless I've got hatred, jealousy, resentment, anger in me. I'm setting it up for goodness. I'm setting it up for success. And that's what Allah says. You were set up to go to Jannah. You were never set up for Jahannam. So when you read, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْكَى, oh, Ya Allah, make us of those who go into this akhirah, which is khair and abka. Right? And that's why salah is salatu mi'raj al-mu'mineen. Oh my goodness, we could go on and on about this. So this section tells you that if I have a fire burning inside me, to be able to get rid of that fire, I need to do tazkiyah. I need to give, I need to share, I need to give as much of myself as possible. Then what do I need to do? Then I need to figure out a direction. And the way I figure out this direction is, once I've removed the negativity, I need to focus on the positivity. And most life coaches will tell you that. And then I need to connect to divinity. And that's my connection. That's my salah. Finally, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي السُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. This is nothing new, he says. Been saying this since time began. This is something I do. He says, all the reminders, all the suhuf of before. Suhuf is a plural of sahifa. All the scriptures remind you of the same thing, that you can be the best. You keep Allah in mind. You take the guidance from the messengers, and you know you are accountable. And he says, suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa. It was in the suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa. Now, one of the things that you hear, here, it's completely different from what they say. Declare the perfection of your Rabb. Talk about him all the time. I go to schools for assemblies. And I remember very specifically in one of the schools, I had a habit of saying, oh my goodness, Or I used to say, oh my God, not oh my goodness. I say, oh my God, every single time. So one of the Christian teachers came up to me and said, I don't mean to offend you, and I'm really sorry if this is going to offend you, but in my tradition and in the Jewish tradition, we don't say God's name like that. We only say God's name in really, really important places. And you'll see that when they write God, especially the Jews, they write G-D. They will never write God as such. So the reason why this is explained is they did not want to take even the name of God. For them, he was too... And they used a good... Their excuse was good. I mean, she told me, we see God as so profoundly way above, which we do as well, that we don't think we should take his name unless it's really, really desperate. And I said, in my tradition, we take God's name, halta chalta, wherever we go. We sit, we stand, we do anything. We say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. However, I have learned from you, and not to offend you, now when I go to schools and when schools open, maybe I shall go again. When I do go, from that time on, I never said, oh my God. I said, oh my goodness. And that's probably what you'll hear me say all the time now, because I had to change, because it is not our duty to offend anybody else. So to them, it was a state of offense. Whilst Islam says exactly the opposite. It tells you, take his name wherever you can. Remind yourself that you can be the best. And this surah is just phenomenal. So I'm going to go over the sections just so we're able to put them together in our head. Okay. So first of all, section one. Section one was sabbih, declare his perfection again and again and again. And I will go over it again. So sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. Declare the perfection of somebody who is phenomenally limitless. He's way up there. You just cannot fathom the limitlessness, and therefore you too are limitless. So first section, sabbih all the time. Second section, dhakkir. Remind yourself continually remind yourself of the purpose of life. And if you remind yourself, you will be successful. Continually remind yourself and know that he will give you ease. Third section, you will only be successful if you are able to do the four things. You have to do tazkiyah, you do purification, you've got to have positive thoughts, dhakir, or other three, and then you've got to pray salah. And I went through the bits of guidance as well. And the fourth section, it's a universal message. It's something we've been saying all the time. Allah says, it's not only today, suhu for Ibrahim or Musa. Ibrahim represents all the monotheistic religions, and Musa obviously represents the Torah or the Jews as such. So that in essence comes to the end of Surah Al-A'la. I'm going to play it for you, and then we're going to do a little bit on the understanding of the of journaling. So please try to listen to it. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.